The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo! Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo!
The Bills make me wanna...
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times... Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and I want to thank you for joining us in this offseason talk for the Buffalo Bills. We're going to discuss anything and everything having to do with one of the most divisive topics amongst Bills fans this season and going into 2020, the Bills offense, and in particular, offensive coordinator Brian Daboll. We will discuss his history, where he came from, how his teams have performed in the past, and things we hope to see from him in the future. We discuss it together and get some help from our amazing followers on Twitter. And also, stay tuned after our discussion to see who the winner is for our new signed football giveaway. All right, let's go into the curious case of Brian Daboll. So I kind of got the idea for this podcast or this episode from just my thoughts on Brian Daboll. I think he's one of the most divisive offseason topics for the Buffalo Bills. When he was up for a head coaching position, like I mentioned earlier, with the Cleveland Browns, there was a divided opinion. There was, you know, this is a good thing, this is a bad thing. We're not really sure. I posted a poll on Twitter I'm going to go over later where I asked this question, and it was very divided. It was one of the most divided Twitter polls I've ever done, had over 1,100 votes, and I mean, it was almost split down the middle. So we're going to talk about our general thoughts on Brian Daboll as an offensive coordinator, as a coach. You know, I guess on one hand, the Bills offense was not the reason the Bills were 10-6 this season. You had a second-year quarterback in Josh Allen that is learning a lot right now, a newly put-together offensive line with nine new starters this season. So, I mean, there's a lot of things, but at the same time, you have to wonder, you know, are the Bills getting all they can out of Brian Daboll? So, you know, in talking with Mike and John, they have thoughts on, you know, Brian Daboll, you know, things that they like, things that they don't like. So I'll go with you, John, first. What are your thoughts on Brian Daboll as an offensive coordinator, as a coach for the Buffalo Bills, especially this past season?
Well, I think it's good to keep him on for consistency. I mean, both the offense and Josh Allen have improved. So, I mean, I don't think there's a reason to, unless you think there's like this upgrade, right, that they should get, but obviously that's not happening. So why not stay with it and keep improving in that way, right?
So you like continuity. What's one thing that you didn't like about Brian Daboll?
Not enough double reverse flea flickers.
Yeah, only one that I can remember. Maybe two. So you like the creativity too, but that's just another positive. You like the creativity. You want to keep the continuity between Josh Allen and Brian Daboll, which Josh Allen has mentioned that he does love Brian Daboll, as I imagine you should as a quarterback, especially a second-year quarterback where he's been your offensive coordinator for two seasons in a row. I'm sure he's learned a lot from him. I'm sure he has a very good relationship with him on and off the field. So, Mike, what do you think? What are your thoughts on Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills, some things that you liked and some things that you think he can improve on.
I agree 100% with John. We need the consistency, right? There's been too much turnover. And I think a piece that goes maybe a little bit under the radar is we're big on Brandon Bean. We're big on the coaching, right? Like, we trust McDermott, trust the process. They're the guys that see his work product day in, day out, see his dedication. And if they're happy, I don't think it's really our place to maybe question it isn't the right word, but we don't see a tenth of what they can see. And if they're happy, I think he certainly deserved more time. Your second point, like what I like, I think throughout his career, he's shown an ability to play to his star strength. When he was the Jets quarterback coach, right? We always were fans of Brett Favre, the old gunslinger. When he was the Jets quarterback coach and Favre played for the Jets, he had his second highest completion percentage of his career after MVP seasons in Green Bay. It took him to the Jets and Brian Daboll to have that kind of success. Then when Daboll was with the Dolphins, he had Reggie Bush running for 1,000 yards. He had Brandon Marshall having 1,000 yards receiving, right? When he was with Kansas City, Jamal Charles eclipsed 1,500 yards. But just everywhere he's been, he's had success. The stars under him have he knows how to play to people's strengths. With the Bills, right, it was all about the running game, Frank Gore, Devin Singletary, and with Josh Allen, again, plays to strengths. Allen, I think he led the whole league in carries, right? So that's what I like. I like the consistency, and I think he certainly deserved another year. And to John's point, who else? Is there an all-star coordinator that you'd replace him with? Like, no.
Yeah, not really. I mean, I'm all for, I guess I say this in what I'm about to say is that there's some things I'm critical of Brian Daboll in. Things I don't necessarily think that they're definitely not going to get rid of him. Obviously, they would have done that already if they were going to. But there are things that I think he can really improve on still. So one of the things I like is the progress of Josh Allen. I think you guys kind of both alluded to it. Whereas, you know, he's seen definite improvements in certain parts of his game between year one and year two. I think he's narrowed down some of the not so great plays that Josh can do. But at the same time, you know, there are some things that I wish he was better at. In particular, one of the things is game planning for opponents. Sometimes it appears that his primary game plan is the opposite of what he should be doing. I mean, for example, the Browns this season, I mentioned it in the post game recap, was, you know, the Browns are 30th ranked against the run, and your primary game plan, as simple as it may be, should be to run the ball. Plus, the strength of your offense isn't running the ball. It isn't passing the ball. And if running the ball doesn't work, then I get it. Then you try to pass the ball. But he seems too easy to rely on passing with such a raw quarterback like Allen. And even in close games, as opposed to running the ball. I mean, there are games where he just passes like crazy. I mean, think about the Houston Texans game in the playoffs where, you know, it's basically, you know, I mean, in no point of the game were they out of that. Were they out of it statistically or points wise? Yet they called 46 pass plays and they only had a running back run play called 21 times. I mean, I guess I'm really curious as to why he would do that to Josh Allen, put him in that position to do that. I mean, the Texans aren't a great run team. And I feel like they just abandoned it way too early or way too easily. I mean, there were questionable game calling. Mike, you mentioned how in overtime, you know, a couple of weeks ago that they were playing like it was the 2-minute warning still, instead of saying, hey, like this is, you have as much time as you need because there is no end of overtime because this game is going to be a tie. So you have as much time as you need. And, you know, there are other things that bother me about his offense. You know, there is no screen game. The screen game doesn't exist for the Buffalo Bills, and Bruce Nolan brought it up on the Nick and Nolan podcast. They're usually really great at the screen game because you practice it a lot, or you're not good at it at all because you don't practice it. So clearly the Bills don't practice the screen game at all. And I'm fine with that, but then you look at it and you're like, well, what are you actually good at? Like, what is the Bills offense really good at? And I guess I'm not sure I can point to a type of offensive plan or anything that really works or not with his offense. I mean, what is the Bills offense really good at? I guess I'm not really sure. And, you know, he just doesn't seem to get, you know, I mean, speaking of screen game, I mean, the Bills don't pass the ball a lot to their running backs. I mean, that's something that the Patriots do really well. They're used to the strength of Tom Brady and, you know, Brian Daboll coming from the Patriots offensive system. I would have thought he would use his tight ends more, maybe use the middle of the field more, use Cole Beasley more for the underneath routes. I thought he would use the running backs just out of the backfield, catching wheel routes, just catching slants, you know, just being out there receiving the ball more, especially with such a playmaker like Devin Singletary. And they don't use a lot of action, you know, play action before. They don't use play action at all. I feel like they never use play action pass in their offense to set up or using run to set up the pass and then use play action. I mean, these are just, you know, what about simple things like I'm no offensive coordinator or, you know, I'm not a big X's and O's guy, but I mean, I feel like they rarely use a draw play or simple trap play, something like that. Like those very simple concepts, I feel like evade this offense and Brian Daboll. So, I mean, even with an upgraded offensive line and playmakers, I feel like they didn't take a huge step forward this season. So do you guys disagree with anything I just said, or you feel like I'm hitting some of those on the head?
There's a lot to unpack there. You said a lot of things. One thing you mentioned, you know, you aren't sure one thing that they're very good at. One thing that they're good at, I think, might be misdirection. They have that jet sweep play that they can run with either the running back, the quarterback, the receiver. They have the option. But they can, you know, run it with the running back, the quarterback, where he can pass it. I mean, they run a lot of motion. I think those are some of the things that they are good at. And I do think they've improved since last year. Some of that might be personnel. I'm not sure. What do you think, Mike?
I agree that there's room for improvement. I'm happy with the progress. Some of the stuff, when you brought up the game against the Texans, that was enraging. I agree. I had forgotten that, how they ran it like it was the end of the game, but they really had all the time in the world. Like, yes, that does make me want to smash my head into the wall. So some things do continue to confound me, but, and you brought up good points. I can't, I guess, dispute any of it.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that he can't improve on these. I just, you know, some of these seem like simple ideas. Like you were mentioning, John, the jet action sweep. And that reminded me of the games that we're watching today, the AFC NFC Championship. Obviously, you're talking about four of the best teams in the NFL. But I'm looking at the plays that they're running, whether even in the Titans-Chiefs game. I mean, both teams are running plays, especially the Chiefs, I should say, where like the guy just, the motion out of the backfield or the play in which it's designed, like there's a guy automatically open. And sure, it's only for 4 yards and you might only get a few yards after the catch, but like this, the guy's open. The guy's open as soon as the ball snapped. I mean, you just don't see that happen in a Bills offense where the ball snapped and, you know, Allen's rolling out to his right and there's a target right for him. Or there's a primary, a secondary, tertiary target. You know, there's one close, one middle, one downfield. I feel like the Bills don't even roll out as good as Allen is. They don't roll out, use rollouts. I'm just adding another thing that I don't see a ton to the Bills offense. I mean, he's athletic. You don't have to just do QB design runs. I mean, roll him out and have him chuck the ball down the field to some guys that would be open, you know, in the short, intermediate, and longer. Anyway, I wanted to go over some of, just real quick for people that don't know, Brian Daboll's history as a coach. So he attended St. Francis High School in Athol Springs, New York. He was a letterman in football. He attended University of Rochester and was a letterman and 2-year starter there in football. And then he never played in the NFL. He was never a player or anything like that in D1, but he went to the College of William and Mary in 1997 as a restrictives earning coach. And that's where he met Sean McDermott there and Sean McDermott was a graduate assistant at the time. And that's kind of how they developed a relationship there. This is no restrictives. Restrictive earnings coach sound kind of weird.
Didn't Steve Tasker go to William & Mary?
I think so.
What does that coach do?
I don't know. It was his title. It sounds like it's like a minimum wage like coach. Like, we can't pay you more. So, you know, so we'll pay you just enough for you to be. So it's like maybe the most basic of coaches. I don't know. Film study? I have no idea. But then he went from William & Mary to Michigan State as a grad assistant from 1998 to 1999. He then went on to New England, the New England Patriots. He was a defensive coaching assistant from 2000 to 2001. He then became the New England Patriots wide receivers coach from 2002 to 2006. Mike alluded to this earlier. He was a New York Jets quarterbacks coach from 2007 to 2008. He then went to become the Cleveland Browns offensive coordinator. It was his first OC job from 2009 to 2010. He was a Miami Dolphins offensive coordinator for 2011. Then he jumped over to the Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator in 2012. He then went from there over to the New England Patriots in 2013 as an offensive assistant. He then became the New England Patriots tight ends coach from 2014 to 2016. And then he left there to become Alabama's co-offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach in 2017 for their national championship run. And now he is the Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator. He is for the third season. This is his longest tenure as an offensive coordinator anywhere in the NFL. You know, I mean, he has a lot of winning, and to give him credit, he has a ton of winning experience as a coach. He won a national championship, like I mentioned earlier, with Alabama in 2017. He coached in New England for 11 seasons and won 5 Super Bowl titles as an assistant there. So the guy's won a lot in his career. Now, mind you, like, some of those might be, you know, not necessarily as head coach or even offensive coordinator in a lot of those roles, but he was still part of those very successful teams.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a 2-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So I want to go over some of the Bills' offensive stats and rankings as it was this year. And I want you guys to kind of give me an idea of what you think. So I'm going to quiz both you, John and Mike, for these rankings because, you know, some of these you might have an idea of. I mean, we do stats of the game after every game during the season. And here's basically a stats of the season, an overall summary. But I don't want you to give me the exact number of passing yards, but... let's start off offensively, obviously. As far as the Bills ranking offensively, I mean, what do you think their rank is in points for within the NFL? So they're ranking offensively in points for in the NFL compared to the other 31 teams. Mike, why don't you go first this time?
Points for?
Yeah, offensively.
22.
John.
That's funny because that's the exact number that I was going to pick.
Think they're better or worse than that?
I guess I'll say 21.
Oh, it's 23. 23. Mike wins that one. So obviously, I think we would all agree that points four is the most important statistic offensively. I would say the more points you score, obviously, the better your chances are of winning. Yardage-wise, though, I mean, I'd say offense, at least yardage-wise, you could say, well, the Bills were doing really well yardage-wise. They just didn't convert into touchdowns or points, right? So where do you think the Bills ranked offensively in yardage? I'll start off with Mike on this one because he won the last one.
This is America, man. Why are you punishing success?
Because this is...
It should go... We always go back to the other person. John should go first for alternating.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. All right. John goes first. I'm okay with alternating.
So it's got to be better than 23rd based on what you said.
Maybe.
14.
Good one. Guess I got to go 15.
That's 24.
Oh.
Yeah. I led you guys way off on that.
Didn't you just say that they were better yardage-wise than points-wise?
I said they could be better yardage-wise than point-wise. Cool. And still not a, you know, so, yeah.
Got to listen carefully, John.
Yeah.
No, I took it too.
Yeah. So the Bills, you know, 23, 24 in points for in yardage, not good. Bottom half of the league, obviously.
That is surprising, though. I thought they just a lot of times got hurt in the red zone and failed to like finish drives and punch it in.
I agree. I mean, that's kind of what my opinion was. This is why it's a good exercise, because once you go through this, you'll kind of have an idea of where the offense sits as a whole compared to the rest of the NFL. And the good thing about that is it'll help with free agency in the draft and realizing where the Bills really need to more or less improve in, right? As a team, as a coaching staff, as an organization. So, all right, let's go into passing yardage in the league. Where do you think the Bills rank in passing yardage? So I'll start with Mike on this one, because we just did John. You can talk it out too. You think it's good? You think it's bad?
I think it's terrible. but it's not so much a function of trying to get the exact number. Now I just have to worry about picking something where forcing John to make the decision to go one way or the other.
So if you pick the exact right number, then you'll really give him a tough decision.
Like the first time, you picked the number that I would have picked.
Right, but I got lucky that you went the other way, right? I mean, so I have a number, but talking it out doesn't benefit. I might as well keep all my thoughts internal
and not
assist you at all. Like, that's passing yardage. I'll say 26. It's not the number I want to say, mind you.
John, you going over or under?
But given this, the rules of Nate's...
I'm trying to think what Mike wants me to say.
Oh my God, this isn't that difficult, guys. It's just...
I go 27.
Damn! That was the one I wanted!
So actually, the answer... Mike got it right. 100%.
Yes.
26. 26 wow. In passing yardage compared to the rest of the NFL.
I can agree with Mike if I wanted to, right? Like, I could pick the same number.
No.
No.
You
have to pick it.
This is America.
You can't cooperate.
You can't cooperate together. Collusion. So I guess passing. So let's go into. So I will say, though, you know, the problem with, you know, holistic stats or, you know, like points for is one thing, right? Because then if you were to break that down like game by game, it's like points per game. It's the same, right? If you're, you know, ranked, 23rd in points for, then you're also going to be ranked 23rd in points per game, right? Like there's no unit or density value. Like that doesn't change. But what I will say is when you talk about total yardage, now that does change. You know, from a standpoint, because let's say your team only passed the ball the entire season. You never ran the ball once. You should be number one in yardage, but you also will have the most attempts of any other team in the NFL too. So if you have 10,000 yards passing, is that really a barometer of how good your passing game is as a whole, right? So the Bills could have like the least amount of attempts in the NFL, but if you'd say if they had the least amount of attempts, but they were 26 in passing, like that's pretty good, right? Like that's still saying you're, you know, so there's also like a per unit or density value that I think is more important. In this instance, in passing, it's net yards gained per pass attempt, which is basically passes attempted, it takes account into sacks, right? So basically your yards per attempt but also taking into account, because if you're, you know, it's basically how good are you on a pass by pass basis? Because we can't say how good you are overall holistically as the 26th best, you know, team in the NFL when it comes to passing yards. How good are you on a pass by pass basis? So let's do a guess. How well do you think the Bills are on a pass by pass basis in the NFL? Like a ranking from 1 to 32, just like we did before. Do you think they're better than their 26th ranking in yardage, or do you think they're worse? But give me a number too.
I'm thoroughly confused.
I'll give you the even the net yards per attempt. The Bills have 5.2 net yards per attempt this season. So that means every time they're dropping back, they're getting 5.2 yards per passing attempt. But this also takes into account, you know, sacks, which Allen has taken a few. So yards per attempt. Just look at it that way.
I'm going to say that they rank the same.
Ooh, 26? Ooh, nice. Mike, what do you think? This is a good. That's a good answer, John, because Mike doesn't know if they're better or worse. They could be fifth or they could be 32nd.
This is the first time I'm hearing of this metric, so it's interesting. It's called yards per
attempt. Because if you did yards per completion.
It's interesting that they take the sacks into account. That's an interesting wrinkle.
Yeah.
5.2. I thought that was surprisingly good.
Okay.
But you're obviously excluding incomplete passes.
No, that is per attempt. That takes into account incomplete passes. Whereas if you just did yards per completion.
That seems very high.
Yeah. If you see.
So every incomplete pass is going in there is a zero.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the Bills did not have many long passes.
And every sack goes as negative yardage. So you're adding all those zeros and all those negatives together and all the positives, obviously. So, I mean, that's why yards per.
5.2 is pretty respectable, I would think, you know.
Yeah.
If you look at the numbers and it's first and 10 and you get 5.2 per pass attempt, I think they would have got more first downs.
That's obviously Brian Dable's approach. That's why he passed 46 times. He's like, dude, 5.2 yards per attempt, 46 times. We're going to give like 800 yards tonight.
John said 26.
Yep.
I guess they, relative to running, I feel that they do pass relatively infrequent. And even excluding the presence of a deep passing game, I think the Bills maybe did better. So I guess I've got to say 25.
Yep, they were 21st in net yards per attempt. And they were 24th in attempts in general. So, you know, bottom half of the league when it comes to even passing attempts, right? Even though you think about it, you're like, oh, you know, hey, wait a minute. I thought they always pass the ball. In some games they do, but obviously as a whole, they don't. Or do they? Because I have another stat for you. So let's talk about rushing yardage. This will be the last few stats I ask about in general. So rushing yardage wise, where do we think the Bills are ranked in rushing yards this season? So I started with John last time. Top 32, where do you think they rank, Mike? Rushing yards. You got to figure better than passing, right? Or do you? See, this is why this is a good exercise, because you, all three of us, talk about the Bills every single game. We always go over stats of the game. But when you look at it holistically as an entire team total at the end of the season, it's not completely obvious who is, what they're good at, what they're bad at, where their weaknesses are, where their strengths are. I mean, you think you have an idea, but this is why this is a good exercise. So I'm glad this isn't completely easy and you guys aren't getting every single one of them right. So continue.
Well, I think I'm getting everyone right. No offense to John.
Well, we're all within one of each other, right?
Oh, my scoreboard says 4-0. So you better hope there's at least four more questions.
there's like two. So Mike is basically the 49ers tonight and John is Green Bay.
I guess I'll go sixth.
Ooh, look at that. Nice.
Just trying to make John make the decision.
7. Yeah. 6.1. All right, go.
Oh, the number is 8.
Boom.
John's mounting that comeback. That'll never happen. So eighth in total yards, total rushing yards this season, which is pretty darn good. If you think about it, obviously the strength of the Bills offense is rushing the ball, right? Running the ball, if you look at total yards compared to the rest of the league, they're doing great at. Now, I won't go into touchdowns because the Bills were ranked pretty bad in passing touchdowns at 24th, but in rushing touchdowns, they were only ranked 18th. Again, having both those values have issues factors in them having such a poor points for and total scoring points this season. But
I mean, imagine how drastically different it would be without Josh Allen.
Yes. Oh, I'm glad you said that, because I am going to go into that. So last ranking I'm going to ask about is yards per attempt. So yards per carry rushing the ball. Where do you think, because I mentioned, you know, net yards per attempt being like a unitary measure of density, like how good are you on every attempt compared to the rest of the league? I think that's a good value for saying, you know, every attempt, because some teams rush. The Bills had the sixth most attempts in the NFL and the eighth most in yardage. But how good, how effective are they in every single rush? Are they getting, they could have the most rush attempts, but be running the ball at 2 yards per carry and still have more rushing yardage than everyone else, right? So where do the Bills rank in yards per carry? This is a John first.
4.
I like it, but I think the Frank Gore carries weigh you down. That's I got to go 5.
But then again, do the Josh Allen runs, you know, build it up, right?
No question.
So the answer to that is basically very middle of the pack. It's 14. So the Bills are much better on a rushing per play, you know, yards per carry, yards per attempt, rushing the ball at 14th in the league, and they're 21st in net yards per attempt passing. So both either at around the league average or below average when it comes down to it. Now, to say that that's Brian Daboll's fault, I don't think that's really fair, but let's look into a couple of things. So one thing that I'm so glad you mentioned that, Mike, is Josh Allen. And in rushing yardage, Josh Allen truly inflates those stats, as he did last season.
Right? Singletary, very high yards per carry for rushers this year, right?
Yes, he did. I don't have that right now, but hold on a minute. After, just let me talk, John. Jeez, I'm talking about Josh Allen right now. Josh Allen truly inflates like these stats, as he did last season. So let's say you were to give Brian Daboll, Sean McDermott, the Bills coaching staff in general, a normal quarterback, right? So give him the median amount of attempts of all the NFL quarterbacks. Give him the median amount of rushing yardage. So like, for example, Josh Allen had 510 rushing yards this season, which ranked third in all quarterbacks, right? And he was also second in all QB rushing attempts with 109. So he's third ranked in rushing yards, second in rushing attempts. But let's say you give him, you know, just the median amount of rushing yards. So the 16th best out of 32 quarterbacks rushing yards, that's 183 yards instead of 510. And let's say you give him the median amount of rushing attempts at 43 instead of 109. So if you take that into account, I did all the math behind the scenes, but basically makes them what was a team that was eighth in rushing yards. If you sub him in with an average quarterback, they now become 17th in rushing yards total. And if you give him the rushing attempt of a median quarterback instead of 109 rushing attempts, he has 43. Then all of a sudden it makes them last in the league in rushing attempts instead of 6th. So Josh Allen is pumping up their rushing yardage from a top 10 to, you know, below middle of the pack. And then attempts wise, they go, he has that many attempts that they would be last in the league and rushing attempts. Isn't that crazy? But I mean, I guess my point is, so the Bills are actually, you know, ranked pretty low in some of those stats offensively. If you look at his tenure in as an offensive coordinator in the league with Cleveland, Miami, Kansas City, and Buffalo now, I mean, he just hasn't had a season where he ranked even in the top 20. He was only in the top 20 once in points, and then the rest have been in the 20s and 30s, mostly in the bottom half. I mean, just to give you a quick, you know, ranking, I mean, his, you know, points offensively from Cleveland all the way down to Buffalo has been 29, 31, 20, 32, 30, 30 last season, now 23 this season. And
but all of these teams are like 1 or 2 years at a time, and that's not his fault. The head coach gets fired, and then his whole staff has to leave because the new coach wants his own guys.
Or maybe those head coaches are getting fired because his offense isn't doing well enough. I mean, I'm just posing the question out there. I guess what, you know, when we're talking about points and yardage, by the way, the yardage is a much, much better. Total yardage wise, going from Cleveland to now is 32, 29, 22, 24, 30, 24. I mean, those are back half of the league and really at the bottom 10. So I guess my point in all of this is not that he can't do it, not that continuity isn't good. Maybe that's what Brian Daboll needs to actually get his offensive play calling career off the ground. But my point, I guess, would be is that he hasn't done it yet. So we don't know if he can. If you want it to be a top 10, I mean, even, geez, I take a top 15 offense at this point. You know, if you want that, this just isn't something he's done before.
Well, there must be something there. The Browns are interviewing for head coach, and the Giants are wanting to request an interview for offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Yeah, there must be something there. You're right. I mean, and I'm not trying to, you know, say the guy is worthless. I think there is something to be said for him.
I mean, it's excluding, right, his Alabama national championships.
Yeah, but that's Alabama, right? Alabama's winning a national championship every other year, right?
But it's like you don't give him credit when he does, like, say he's under a great head coach, Nick Saban, right? Like, he's not getting, like, oh, it's all Nick Saban. It's not Brian Daboll. But then if it's a crappy situation, like, oh, it's his fault. It just seems like...
Well, there haven't been enough good situations for me to say that he's done... Yeah, he won a national championship in college with Nick Saban as the head coach.
Like, he won all the Super Bowls.
Well, I mean, he did great as an offensive assistant. I mean, he did great as the wide receivers coach and the tight ends coach. And yeah, he just hasn't proven himself as an offensive coordinator yet. And like you said, there's reasons why. I mean, Cleveland, the quarterbacks then weren't that good, you know, in 2009, 2010. You know, we're talking about Brady Quinn in 2009. Not ideal. You know, in 2010, you're talking about Colt McCoy. So, and Jake Delhomme, you know, like you're splitting time, and then Seneca Wallace. Like, you know, these aren't the best quarterbacks you're playing with, obviously. You're just asking him to do something he hasn't done yet. Not that he can't, he just hasn't. So, yeah, I mean, there's some positive things he's done as an assistant or a quarterback's coach or whatever, and offensive coordinator in a college team, in one of the best college teams in NFL or in NCAA history.
Like, what more do you want?
I want him to have a good offense. I want him to be the Kyle Shanahan. Sucks. I want him to be the Kyle Shanahan of offensive coordinators. For our team, though. Sean McVay, whatever you want. I don't necessarily need the best guy, but I just need somebody who ranks in the top 15. That's all. And some of these stats that matter. Yards per attempt, he was in the top 10 of the league once in Kansas City. And I believe that was a season that you mentioned, Mike, yards per carry. And that was because his running back was Jamal Charles. He had a great running back. So give him credit for that. So, yeah.
I feel like yards per carry is a little overrated.
Yeah, it's not a perfect. None of these statistics are perfect. I will say that. And this is just gives you an idea of roughly where they rank, you know, as compared to other teams. So you want to hear something?
I think too. Like, doesn't game recognize game a little bit, right? Like, Belichick wants him, and how did he won 5 Super Bowls with the Patriots? Like, Nick Saban, the best college coach ever, wants him to be the offensive coordinator for his national championship powerhouse. Like, it's at some point, like, their opinions have to count for more than
statistics.
What people are saying on Twitter.
Yeah, and it has. It's landed him an offensive coordinator position and several other interviews, you know, with, well, one interview for a head coaching position, but a possible other, you know, offensive coordinator position that was stonewalled. So,
but you don't know if he wanted it. It was just some other team said, hey, can we interview him?
Yeah, which is a good sign for him. I agree with that. There's something to be said for other teams wanting him and liking him. It's just, let's see it. Let's see it now. This is the third season. Do you think that after this season, the Bills will make a decision depending on how well the offense does? I mean, Sean,
it's not him in a vacuum, right? It's a lot of the personnel that you get. Yep. And I don't know if they have the offensive personnel. Like, we'll see what they do in the offseason and the draft.
Well, one of the things that was most frustrating for me this past weekend was watching the Titans go into the AFC Championship. And if you look at them from a ranking perspective, I mean, they're very close to the Bills in offensive statistical categories. I mean, the Bills are 26th in passing yardage. The Titans are 21st in passing yardage. The Titans are 3rd in rushing yardage. The Bills, like I mentioned, were 8th in rushing yardage, so pretty close, within a few notches of each other. The difference was the Bills were 23rd in points, and the Titans were 10th. So they were just more effective with their offenses. And defensively, like the like we will go into defenses another time, but defensively, the Titans were worse than the Bills in a lot of categories. Some they were really good at, some they were very poor at. So, I mean, everyone talks about the Titans defense, and, you know, the Titans cornerback Logan Ryan basically said that they used the Bills' defensive game plan against the Ravens a couple of weeks ago, and they used the same. They were just able to score more points. And I'm like, yep, you're just able to score more points that we aren't able to score. So, anyway, that's why I call it a curious case for Brian Daboll, because I don't know necessarily how to feel about him. I just we're just hoping he's doing something that he hasn't done before, right? It's just like, but in a similar way, Josh Allen is doing something that he hasn't done before. He's become, you know, a quarterback that's become more accurate, that's learned some tendencies that a lot of people didn't think he could do, and he had a really good second season in, you know, compared to his first season. So you just gotta hope that you get to that level of offense next season in the top 20s, I would say, at least on a lot of those categories that we talked about.
I think the other tricky thing as far as statistics are concerned, especially for the NFL on a yearly basis, there's only 16 games, which really isn't that big of a sample size. You compare that to like baseball or the NHL, it's like you extrapolate that out, it's like, okay, maybe you can get a better feel. But like in the NFL, it's like it's only 16 games.
Yeah.
And then the next year, there's like roster turnover and this and that. Like it's really hard. It's just like fantasy football, right? Like you can't predict the fantasy defense year to year because it's completely different, and even week to week, it that can be difficult.
Yeah, I think that even these rankings. I mean, each team isn't playing the other team once, right? So it's not like it's a full. If you're ranked 15th, it's like, well, you might have played the easiest schedule ever. So ranking 15th against the easiest schedule isn't the same as ranking 15th against the hardest schedule, right? So it's all relative, for sure. This is just general rankings as opposed to how they finish at the end of the season, which at the end of the season, luckily, is the biggest sample size that we have. So we have a really good idea, the best idea that we can have of where they truly stand offensively and defensively. So real quick, I'm going to talk about this Twitter poll that I mentioned earlier. They had over 1,100 votes. And it mentioned if Brian Daboll is lost to a head coaching gig after the season, you will be A, upset that he's gone, or B, happy that he's moved on. So if you guys had to take a guess, last quiz of the day, would you guess that people were voted more in favor of upset that he's gone or happy that he's moved on?
Not to be difficult. Are you looking for a percent? Like, oh,
No. Which one did the majority of people vote for?
Okay. And I think it's not an irrelevant detail of when you posted the account, right? Because I think following a loss, people are looking for a scapegoat. Nobody really stood out. There were a couple things that were raw about that game with the offense. Yep. Like maybe I think if you posted a week later, it might be a lot significant difference.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That plays. This was December 31st, so this was before the Texans game.
And I mean, I personally, like right after that game, like how did he dismantle the clock? That's unforgivable. It sucks. Now I'm like, wow, I changed my tune when I hear his history a little bit more. I think, man, the masses are fickle when you talk about Twitter, but hopefully cooler heads would prevail and more people would want him to stick around another year and see it out.
No, Twitter's saying get rid of him.
John is right. Happy he's moved on. One.
John runs the account.
Yeah, John, he's happy he's moved on. 52.8%. So just barely, though. But like I mentioned, such a divisive topic for Brian Daboll. So I'm going to read some of the comments that have happened over some really interesting one. Sean J. Thiel writes, 52.8% are idiots. Dave Thorpe writes, forgot to clarify in a happy. I'm happy for him or good riddance, kind of moved on. I've no ill feelings if he's moved on. Wish him well. He's been part of the frustration at times this season, but also one of the cogs in the wheel to the playoffs. A lot depends on who we get to replace him. Circle the Wagons writes, for Josh's development, it's better for him to be back in Buffalo next year, in my opinion. Tom Pickles writes, fine either way. Middle school football coach wrote, where's the eh button? Mega Weapon writes, assistant coaches moving on to head coaching gigs helps to recruit top talent. I'm all for it. Interesting. Bill McCurd writes, you can't be happy with uncertainty and staff turnover. That's why I think Buffalo never makes significant changes over time, because we keep clearing the table and starting again. So we stagnate and stay average. We can't lose Dable if we want to continue to grow. That's an interesting topic. We talked about that a couple of podcasts ago. I agree with that as long as it's the right guy. If it's not the right guy, then you just wasted the past three seasons or two seasons if you fired him the first season or the second season or whatever. Anthony Giordano writes, how can anyone honestly say that Dable is good? Our offense is bottom third in the league by every objective measure and ranked behind units like Carolina and Jacksonville, which were led by undrafted free agent quarterbacks. We can do better and should expect better. And then he goes into a whole thing with David Kraft. David Kraft writes, it's undeniable that Josh Allen is better this year than last. How much of his progress should be attributed to Dable? I think it's reasonable to think that Josh Allen's progress could be stunted by a change in offensive coordinator going into his third year. And that's another thing, Josh Allen's progress. Do you give Brian Dable credit for Josh Allen's progress? Or would he have more progress without Brian Dable or less progress without Brian Dable? Is his progress due to the fact that he's just that much of a hard worker, that he has that much talent that's untapped? Or is it the fact that Brian Dable really brings out the best in Josh Allen? Lord Pagula writes, I would be happy he's gone. He's not awful enough to be fired, but definitely not good enough to be long-term solution. Let's roll the dice to get better. Patrick Gerald writes, this was hard to vote. On one hand, I'm happy for the guy. On the other hand, I'm selfish, and I want the team and coaches to stay intact as much as possible. John Beals writes, honestly, I would be happy for him. This regime is all about people moving up. Plus, I think we're in need of more from our OC. 2020 retirement writes, I've changed my mind on this overnight. Continuity would be good. I want to see more creativity, more vertical passing, more effective screens, more touchdowns versus field goals, but I'm not so sure changing OCs again is the way to go. And I think that's where I'm going to leave it on there. Those were some very good responses. Either way, on both sides of the aisle, people loving Brian Dable and people, you know, really hoping that he leaves, and then other people that were just like, meh, it is what it is. I didn't care either way. 50-50. Okay, I want to take this time to announce that we do have a winner for the Bruce Smith signed football giveaway that we had last podcast. Darren emailed me this week at ctwpod@gmail.com to let us know that he won. So thank you, Darren, for getting back to us. And thanks for listening. And thanks for not living in another country like Brett did that won the signed Tremaine Edmonds jersey. So won't have to ship that internationally. So appreciate that, Darren. Just kidding, Brett. You're... jerseys in the mail. So I want to also thank Del Lago Casino and Resort for being so nice to us and to give us these signed footballs for giveaways on the podcast. And our next giveaway is for a Donovan McNabb autographed football. So McNabb, who has been making some headlines in his interview with Bleacher Report on Terrell Owens and his comments on their friendship or lack thereof, pretty interesting stuff. So he's in the news recently. And not a Bills player, but still, I mean, a cool football player that we're going to give away a signed football for. So the winner this week for the Donovan McNabb signed football is at rsato8, Ryan Sato. So at rsato8, Ryan Sato, you are the winner of this Donovan McNabb signed football. So as always, if you're interested in winning some cool Bills stuff, usually Bills stuff, this time it's not, but whatever, it's still cool. Just leave us a review in Apple Podcasts and you'll be included in every giveaway that we do from now until forever, I guess. So leave us a review and mention us somewhere in the review and you're automatically in. It's literally that simple. You also have to listen to each podcast because we will be doing giveaways in the off season and you don't want to miss them because several people have missed them and, you know, you feel kind of bad for them. There's a signed John Brown jersey, Tremaine Edmonds jersey. I mean, these, you know, there's some cool things. You know, the Bruce Smith signed football went through about two or three different people before someone finally claimed it. And Darren did on a Saturday. So just get to me before we record our next podcast, Ryan, and you're in. We'll be sending it to you. So I also want to do a quick plug for our TeePublic site. If you're interested, we're doing a 35% off sale at our site for a lot of cool Bills designs on t-shirts, mugs, wall art, whatever you want to put these designs on. There you can't find them anywhere else on the internet. Legitimately, I know that because we created them. You can go to tpublic.com/stores/ctwpod. We just had 35% off sale, like I mentioned, and you can get our very popular Josh Allen hurling the haters t-shirt. He's basically literally a picture of him jumping over the haters. Like that very famous GIF or video or clip of him jumping over Anthony Barr. It's basically just over a graphic that says haters. And, you know, each year, each game continues to prove the haters wrong. And we continue to look forward to see some more success from him. We also have a Sean McDermott Trust the Process shirt. And we have literally like 20 other unique Bills designs that we're currently, you know, we're putting out more, obviously, you know, our Circling the Wagons podcast logo, which is pretty kick-ass, and just Circle the Wagons in general. We're having, you know, we have three or four of those logos. We're putting out more this week and the next week too, so check it out whenever you hear this. That site again is tpublic.com/stores/CTWpod. The CTW pod is just like our Twitter handle, like Circling the Wagons pod. All right, cool. Well, thank you guys so much for sticking with us for this, you know, two-part episode of Brian Daboll, our thoughts on him, some statistics on him, some rankings on him, his history, and everything like that. Really hoping that he is truly the answer and that, you know, Josh Allen loves him because he's that good of a coach and they have that close of a relationship and he can get the most out of him. So let's hope that, you know, he learns some of the things that we weren't happy with him, like, you know, screen passes and draw plays, you know, all that stuff, and really takes advantage of his full offense, and that they... that the Bills front office really gives him more weapons and receivers and tight end. They give Josh more pieces on the offensive line to really give him more time while passing the ball. And hopefully Josh Allen gets a little bit quicker at making decisions so that the offensive line doesn't need to hold up as often. So I think we're in a good spot. I'm excited to see what this team brings next season. So I think in saying that, we'll talk after the Super Bowl. So for John,
let's go Bills. Next year's the year. Brian Daboll, go Bills. Hey.
For Mike?
That was awesome, John. My sentiments exactly. Go Bills.
For me, Nate, go Bills. Thanks so much for listening. Let's hope the offense continues to improve and get better. And we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod @gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.